universal praise. It's a praise all over the world. It means the same. Glory to God of the highest. Amen. That's what we just appreciate Him so much tonight for all that He means to us and for what He is doing. And do you know that when God is working His best, there is still an hour that we must face. Still a time, still a battle that we must fight. Amen. But the Lord is still good. Could you just slip your hand up tonight and just worship Him? Oh, God, we praise You. Touch us, God. Oh, God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lamb of God. We praise You tonight. Thank You, Jesus. We'll say we appreciate the Lord tonight for each one in the house of God, and appreciate the move of God that we feel here in this service tonight. But I know that the Lord is going to help us more and more and more as we allow Him to do that. Amen. And we're living in a time that God wants to do some great things for His people. But all it takes is us allowing Him to do those things. If you want to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, the 8th chapter. Psalms, the 8th chapter. I want to read just a few verses of Scripture from there, and we'll be going to a couple other places, but that's the main place that we need to be. Psalms, the 8th chapter. We'll start reading at verse 1 and read down to about verse 9. Well, I guess that'll be the whole chapter, won't it? It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Who has set Thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, and Thou, that Thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the water, and whatsoever passeth through the pass of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. I want to go back just for a moment and read verse number 3. It says, when I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which Thou hast ordained. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers. I thought as I begin to read these Scriptures this week and begin to go through some of these Scriptures, I begin to think about just the touch of God's hand and what it really means. If we really look at this and really consider it, we're going to find that the touch of God's hand means a whole lot. You see, if God would show Himself the way He really is, this earthen vessel could not contain it. It couldn't hold it. Whenever Moses was there, the Lord said, I'll hide you in the cliff of the rock, that you may see My hinder parts. Amen. And when God passed by, Moses looked upon Him, the hinder parts. And when Moses came down off that mountain that day, amen, they had to put a veil over his face because because he was such a glow about him, because the brightness of God, the power and the strength of God that had touched him in his life. Just the finger of God. When I begin to read in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, and I read in that scripture where it said, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. And I stop there just for a little bit and I begin to ponder upon those verses, upon those scriptures. And I begin to think in my mind how that God, from His fingertips, flung the stars and the moon and all the universes into the heavens. And He didn't stop there. But the Bible teaches us that He named them one by one. Amen. When the Holy Ghost was speaking to Sister Hope this morning, and the power of God came by and touched her, I thought, as the Lord said, I've weighed the seas in the hollow of my hand. Amen. Just a touch of His finger. The power of God that is so real. When David wrote this psalm right here, and he began to cry out to God and begin to speak to the Lord, in verse 3 he said, when I consider thy heavens, amen. Listen to what he said, the works of thy fingers. Amen. God, when I look upon everything that you have touched, every area of this world, of everybody's life that I've come in contact with, that your fingers have touched. Amen. And I began to read that earlier this week. I thought about some years ago when the Holy Ghost spoke to a lady as we had a prayer line in the old church. And He said, tell her that I just touched her with one finger. Amen. Just one finger. Amen. I didn't know what was wrong with her. Nobody else knew what was wrong with her. But she had several arteries in her heart that had completely shut down, that had completely closed off. Amen. And as God had touched that heart of that lady that night, she went back to Kentucky. Brother Raymond Cordell's wife, Sister Jenny, went back to Kentucky in the next 3-4 days. She had another test run, and the doctor said, I don't know what happened. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe there was an error in the machinery. But he said, look at this x-ray. All the arteries are now open, and they're functioning perfectly. Sister Jenny said, I stood up and said, God touched me with just one of His fingers. Hey, friend, listen to me tonight. We're serving a mighty God, a powerful God. When I think about the tornadoes and the earthquakes and the hurricanes that come across this nation and all the things that happen, amen, I think about the hand of God and the fingers of the Lord as they come down and they touch situations and lives, amen, of different individuals. God knows exactly what He's doing. God knows how to do it. And God knows how to meet those needs. I thought about when Moses went up on that mountain and he began to seek the Lord. He knew that God's people needed something more than what He could give them. So where did he go? He went to the rock that was higher than him. He went to the powerhouse. He went to the main source. And he said, I've got to have something to take back off this mountain. The Bible says in the book of Exodus that God laid His finger on a rock and wrote those 10 commandments and give them to Moses to take back off that mountain. You know, it always amazes me, and it always just stirs my heart to know that Moses was no different than you and I. Because when he got down there, and of course you can read it for yourself in the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter, you can read how that when he got down there that day, amen, he seen all the sin and evil that the children of Israel were committing. He began to get angry and get aggravated. What did he do? He took the very thing that God's finger had touched, and he slammed it down and busted it to pieces. Hey man, that's what we do a lot of times. Hey, listen to me. Don't get aggravated with me. But a lot of times what we do when things don't go just the way we think they should and the way that we think that they ought to,
We take the very thing that God has touched with His hand, or just a finger, and we turn it aside and trash it. Amen. Hey friend, don't discard the jawbone. When Samuel or Samson went down there that day, amen, he grabbed that jawbone of that donkey and he slew more. What was it? 3,000. And he slew with the jawbone of the donkey. And he tossed it aside. That same jawbone that gave him victory and power through the Holy Ghost of heaven was the same jawbone that brought him strength when the water come out of it, when he was so thirsty. Amen. Don't discard what God has touched in this life. Don't throw it aside and feel like it's nothing. Because you may need it after a while. You may want it after a while. You may desire it in a little bit.
If you notice when Moses went back up, and I want to tell you something this afternoon. The same way you got it before, you have to go back and get it again. Huh? When you discard it, when you toss it aside, when you throw it away, and it comes down time that you're going to need strength and you need something, you have to go right back the same way you got it the first time. Huh? There's no new finagled ways to get a hold of God. There's no new finagled ways to get... You know, somebody said to me the other day, said, man, Brother Mike, you preach a lot and you drive home a lot. Hey, man, about how that we need to pray, how that we need to get a hold of God. I said, the reason I do it is because we're in such competitiveness with this world. Amen. You see, we'll drop everything that God has to do just something for the world for a little bit. Hey, I know how I am. I know how you are. We're human beings. Amen. We're no different than those children were when Moses went up on the mountaintop there to talk to God. Hey, man, we're no different than they was when they laid down there and they didn't hear any noise from the mountain, and they didn't hear the voice of the leader, and they didn't hear nothing coming and rumbling and roaring. Hey, they looked at Aaron and said, make us a God. Make us something that we can worship. You see, deep down inside of every one of us, we were created to worship. That's right. And when God walked through the Garden of Eden that day, and He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam, and whenever He spoke life into Adam's body, it put something down there that caused us to need to worship. Right. Amen. And if we're not worshiping God, we're going to be worshiping something. Amen. We're either going to worship the creature, or we're going to worship the Creator. You hear me? I said we're either going to worship the creature or we're going to worship the Creator. I'd rather worship the Creator, Brother Roy. But there come some times in my life, if I'm not careful, I catch myself holding on to the creature. I really do. Why? Because it's my nature. It's Adam that lives inside of me. It's Eve that lives inside of you, ladies. Amen. To reach out to that creature more than the Creator. That's why it's important for us to pray, to hear the voice of God, to hear God speaking to our hearts. Amen. That's why it's important for us to walk in the steps that's ordered of the Lord. Amen. Because when we come to that split in that path, and there's a Y in the road, and we don't know which way to go, we need to know that we can hear God's voice say, go to the left or go to the right. Stay in my steps. I want you to know something else. When Moses came down, and he took those tablets and he busted them asunder, when he went back up on the mountaintop, it wasn't the finger of God that wrote the second set. It was the labor of Moses. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When God touches your life and God does some great things in your life, and you begin to reach back and go back and slide back into those things, the next time you come out, it's going to be harder. Somebody said, you ain't encouraging this much. No, but I'm going to tell you this much right now. The grace of God is sufficient for every need that you've got in your life. And God knows how to do it. But the first time, God will lay His finger on it. The first time, God touches it.
But the next time, you're going to have to do a little labor in yourself. Amen. I remember the night that I got saved so clearly, so plainly. Amen. When I laid down my face on that floor there, I preached for years and I ran to an altar. They said I didn't even make it to an altar. I fell on my face in the middle of the floor. But when I fell down, I began to cry out to God. And I said, Lord, save me. It seemed like, Sister Mary, when I rose up that night, that something had been lifted off me. Amen. Weights of sin that had been captured in my life for 20 years lifted off of me. And when I walked out on the porch of that church, it seemed like I could have screamed to that whole neighborhood, God save me! I believe it would have roared from here to Kentucky because I felt that preciousness of God. But I fell a few months after I was saved. I caught myself wondering. And I slacked and I got slack. And the voice of God would speak to me and try. The hand of God would touch me. The fingers of God would touch me. But I slacked back. You know, my wife often said, Mike, you just got cold in the Lord. Well, the Bible said, I would if you were hot or cold. For if you're lukewarm, I spew you out. So maybe I was in the best spot, you know, for that situation. But, oh, buddy, let me tell you something. The next time I started praying, I started seeking God, I had to really meet the challenge. I dread it for folks that lose out in the sorrow that we live right now. I dread it for people, Brother Albert, that leave the house of God in this hour. There's so many things and contraptions that the enemy has to offer and grab a hold of people. People, I mean, I'm talking people that are older in God even, that I've known for years, has preached or taught, or just served God for years, or saying, you know, I'm finding it that I'm having a hard time hearing God. I just wonder how often that we are listening. Are we really listening? Are we really taking time out of our daily life to listen to what He has to say? You may bring back in the broken vessels or the vessels. You may be back about Belshazzar, that great king. And I'm going to tell you something. Wealth and fame and all the honor that you can get in this life will not mean anything to you if God's finger hasn't touched it. You hear me? Some time ago, some long time back, the Holy Ghost, I was standing on the pulpit one night of the church. And somewhere in the world, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to tell that couple that it's my hand. Oh God. Do you know that there's people in this life that have money that God has blessed them and that they've learned that that's not their God? That's just a material thing that God has supplied to them? I mean, there's folks that can handle that. There's folks that can live like that. And somebody said, oh, I don't know, bro. I do know. I've met them. Amen. I know there is. But the Holy Ghost said, you tell them that I have been the author of their finances all along. And that you tell them that my hand has been upon their life. Amen. And their financial thoughts and their pattern of their financial thought. I, the Lord, have instructed them. And as I walked off that pulpit that night and talked to those people, I felt the Spirit of God burning and blazing down inside of me. What was God trying to say? God was trying to say, they may be just in a little shaken spot right now. There may be things that are happening. You see, I personally believe that God can help any individual that needs help. I personally believe that there's only one unpardonable sin. I can back that up with Scripture tonight. But that's blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. And that won't be forgiven in this world, neither the world to come. And let me say this tonight. If you had done that, and the devil likes to tell people a lot of times, oh, you blasphemed, you've done this. But if you blasphemed the Holy Ghost, the house of God's the last place that you'd want to be. Amen. But as we find Belshazzar begin to bring back in the golden vessels out of the house of God, back into the party room, back into the place where that they were drinking their wine and their adulterous affairs and all the things that was going on. But all of a sudden, I don't have time to get into it all, but it's the finger of God that brings condemnation. All of a sudden, brother, hear me tonight. All of a sudden, there's a hand appeared. Wouldn't it be something tonight if we'd all just be sitting here? Now, all of a sudden, somebody say, look at that hand on the wall. Oh, you see a finger beginning to write. Hey, man, beginning to scroll letters across the wall. Oh, the Bible teaches me that Belshazzar's knees begin to smote one another. His loins come unlocked. Amen. But that didn't shake him enough. Hey, what did he do? He called in the sorcerers and the gainsayers and all the musicians. Amen. He called all of those in and then began to ask them, what does this mean? What is this? But it was that great man of God that come in and said, wait a minute now. I know exactly what that is. That's the finger of God that's written upon that wall. I'm telling you that God does not only bring mercy, but He brings condemnation to the hearts of men and women. And what we need to realize tonight is that God loves us enough to chastise us. His chastisement sometimes is not easy. It's not very easy at all. His chastisement sometimes hurts gravely. But I want you to know, it was my mama's chastisement that I believe that has kept me one out of hell and two out of prison. It's her chastisement that has brought me to the place that I am today. You see? And it'll be God's chastisement. What young people like Sister Amy and Brother Michael and Christina and others. I see a lot of young folks in the South that we live right now. And I'm not saying this about Amy or any of the rest of them, but I see young people and they're not content no more. There's no contentment. We're living in a time when if God blesses them one service, it's great. But the next two or three services goes by and there's a discontentment that falls over them. Why? We don't know the direction that we need to go anymore. We don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do. We don't know what's taking place in our life. And what's happening, Brother Mike? What's really going on with us? I'll tell you exactly what's going on with us. That we are not following the voice of God. We're not listening to what God has said. Hey, I want you to know something. There's some days when Sister Sharon does not act like she loves me so much. You know, in pastoring, it's a great thing. It's kind of like being a father in a home. In pastoring, you know, I'm the one that has to stand up here and give out the oracles of heaven. I'm the one that has to stand in the pulpit and read the Scriptures.
Right.
Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not have any other gods before thee. I'm the one that has to give all those things out. Sometimes I hear folks saying, you know that Brother Mike, he's got a great wife. But I'm the one that has to hear them say, well, you know, we don't care much about him. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I expect that in my life. When you're a leader of a church, everybody's not going to agree with you. And that doesn't bother me so much. But they always try to throw in, he's got a wonderful wife. Such a good spirit about her. And I agree with them. I really do. I agree with that. But you know, if Sister Sharon had to stand up here and give out these oracles, if Sister Sharon had to stand up here and tell you what thus saith the Lord, and ain't nobody in the church here doing that, so I don't want you to get all tore up and say, now, what's going on here? Who's doing this? But I've heard it. I walked down the aisleway at Grand Hospital one day, and I didn't know, you know, they told me the wrong room, so I'm standing here in the hallway waiting to see this nurse come around here to ask her what room this patient is in. And while I'm there, I hear my name. But I'm not quickly to run into that room. And I hear this lady say, I tell you, I just can't stand the way he preaches. He just tears me up. He's got a wonderful wife. She's so sweet and so kind and so wonderful. But, oh, I just don't know how she stands him. Well, I stood there for quite a while, and then I made my appearance. I walked in and I said, "How y'all doing?" "Oh, Brother Mike, it's so good to see you. We were just talking how it'd be good for you to come and have prayer with us." It's okay. It's all right. I had no problem with that. Because I know somebody's got to take it. You know? I know in my home, if I wasn't the dad, I mean, my wife's a great mama. But she's so soft. And those kids can just twist her sometimes and manipulate her. Just like any other woman. It's kind of like Michael when he's just a little old baby. Little 3 or 4 year old boy. And, you know, he had this big habit of saying, "Shut up!" Every time Sister Katrina would say, "Michael, stop it. Shut up." So one night, well, it was one morning, they was used to me being gone, you know, early in the mornings. But I'd been out all night in the hospital, and I slept in that day. And it was about 10, 11, maybe 12 o'clock in the day. And Katrina was just a little thing, and she's trying to get Michael straightened up. And I was laying there laughing. I heard him, you know, and I was laying there laughing. And I thought, oh, my, they're going at it, you know. Trina's saying, "Michael, you better quit it. I'm going to tell Mama when she comes. You better stop." And old Michael's saying, "Shut up." He didn't stop there. He'd say, one time he said, "Shut up, shut up, shut up." And I thought, now this, you know, I better stop this. We, you know, I've laughed enough. So he's laying on the floor and he's kicking his feet saying, "Shut up, shut up." It's kind of like we do God sometimes. We think He's nowhere around. And we're screaming out all these things in our heart, you know, that's built up in there. But I made my entrance when I opened the door and he looked up and he said, "Shee la la la." I said, "What'd you say?" He said, "Sha la la." I said, "Oh." You know, at 4 years old, he was that slick. Right? For we in this life capture things and things capture us so quickly. And we find ourselves just as Belshazzar, and they begin to drink and bring in all the vessels of the Lord into the house of, into the party room, into the great big chambers where they party. And the drunkenness and all the things that come. Let me tell you the worst thing that it was in Daniel, the 5th chapter, is they brought those things of God, those sacred things of God, right into the place where they was worshiping idols, other gods, false gods. And they set those things right up. That's why God got so angry. That's why God got so disgusted with them. That's why when they looked up and they saw that hand writing on the wall, that finger writing on the wall, that it stirred them. Belshazzar knew better than what he was doing. And a lot of times we know better than what we're doing in this life. A lot of times we know better than what we're falling into. But we continue to fall right on down into it. Why? It feels good to our flesh. It appeases us. It brings us to a place in our lives where that we can feel the way we want to feel. I'm so glad tonight that the Lord has mercy upon whom He will have mercy. You hear me? I don't ever want to get to the place to where I feel like that I am untouchable. I thought Brother Tim taught excellent this morning. I really did. I thought he'd done an excellent job. I thought what he said was superb. But I tell you, whenever he was talking about how that we get to the place to where we feel like we separate ourselves. One of the dangers in isolation is the confusion that comes to our minds. You hear me?
Somebody said, when I'm in the midst of a crowd, I get so confused.
Well, can I tell you something? If you read anything at all, you're going to read that confusion comes when you isolate yourself. You hear so many voices. And it's not voices of B. Sloan or Jerry Kazee or Jimmy Farley. It's voices in the air. And 1 John said, know ye that there's many voices in this world today. Many voices. But what we've got to realize and got to understand is that we've got to discern out the right voice. And 1 John, in the book of St. John, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. I called a phone today, a cell phone. And I called Sister Connie's cell phone. And somebody else answered it. And at first, it stumped me. I thought, this is a little bit confusing. I dial one number and I get another number's voice. And I'm talking and I didn't want him to act, you know, I didn't want Brother Danny Barney to know that it was confusing me. He says, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. How you doing? He said, what you up to? I said, not much. What you up to? I'm thinking in my mind, what now? I got to find out here. I'm not crazy. I know I dialed the right number, but maybe these electronic gadgets, maybe it crossed wire somewhere. Because I've had one person to call me and another name come up from that phone. And I said, how you doing, Sister Sandy? And this brother said, well, I'm doing all right. I don't know how Sister Sandy is. I said, well, your number said Sandy. He said, I'm not Sandy. This is Jim Gillis. Okay. You know? So things can get crossed. So I pull my phone back and I'm listening to him and I says, Sister Connie. I thought for a moment and I put some things together and I said, what are you doing talking on Sister Connie's phone? He was close enough to reach her phone. Can I tell you, in this life sometimes the enemy is close enough to us that when we speak words out of our mouth, he hears what we have to say. We've got to be careful. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion. We've got to watch. But we've got to remember that the Lord is compassionate. And His compassion reaches farther than what we ever thought about in our lives. I thought, as that little lady that had the issue of blood, brother, she said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment. She pressed through that great opposition there. And she touched, Sister Lavetta, the hem of His garment. She just touched a part of His robe. Immediately, the Bible says, Jesus said, the virtue has gone out. Who touched me? Who touched me? But that affliction in her body and that blood disease immediately dried up. Why? She touched Him. And when she touched Him, her faith in Him and the power that lied within Him from the Father went through Him into her, and she was healed and made whole. I think about the little lady that was brought to Him that was caught in the act of adultery. I think about the sin that she had committed there. And how that as she was brought out there and they wanted him to cast his judgment that she should be stoned to death. The Bible says that he reached down with his finger and he wrote in that sand that day. There's many things, many books, many writers have said that Jesus wrote that day. I don't know what he wrote. But I know what he said. When he rose up and said, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And he reached back down and he began to write again. When he looked up that second time and everybody was gone, Brother Jerry, he said, "Woman, where aren't thine accusers?" She said, "I have none, Lord." He said, "Neither do I. Go thy way and sin no more." Hear me tonight. It was the touch of God through His Son that He loved us enough. When He went to Calvary, He shed His blood for us. Oh, Pilate may have wrote the inscription, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." But it was God's hand that touched his heart. It made him compassionate enough to place that up over the Savior's cross. In the book of Hebrews it said, Men of old was moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And they were compelled to write this Gospels right here that we read tonight. And it may have been their hand and their pen on script that wrote, but it was the finger of God that touched their heart, that placed that deep down inside of them. And I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost is speaking to my heart right now, this very night. You may have some problems. You may have enemies. You may have some folks that you feel like that are against you. But the finger of God can touch their lives and change them. And not only can He touch their lives, but He can touch your life. He's done it too many times before. I seen Him touch Sister Newsom this morning. I seen Him touch her a few weeks ago. And I'll die and leave this world saying, I know God has done something in that sister's life. You hear me? I'm not a tent preacher. I'm not going to be here tonight and in Texas tomorrow. I'm here to stay for a while until God moves me. I'm telling you, I'm standing on what I know, the Holy Ghost of heaven. I've never told folks. I would not in a thousand years just say the Lord said this or the Lord said that. I fear God too much. And not only that, we're messing with people's very hearts toward heaven. I would never do that. But I know when I feel the Spirit of God touch my heart, and I hear the Holy Ghost of heaven speak in my ear, I thought tonight as God was moving and touching Sister Vernie back there, the Holy Ghost said to me, and I was going to tell her at the church, I was telling her now, God said, tell her I laid my hand on it. I laid my hand on it. You hear me? I'm telling you tonight that there's not a situation in your life that the finger of God can't reach down and touch. I've been here for 20 some years. You folks know who I am. You know me. If I hear God speak to my heart, if I don't, we're just going to pray on. But when I hear the voice of God, and I know the voice of God, I'm going to speak it. If ever devil in hell tells me you're wrong. I know I'm right. Because when God's right, we're all right. You hear me? And I'm going to say this to you. I've never known Him, Sister Pearl, to ever be wrong. Not in the 28, 29 years I've served Him, I've never known God to be wrong. So what I'm telling you tonight is His finger can touch the need in your life. All you've got to do is turn it over to Him. As we stand, if we can and will tonight, Father God, I just thank You for Your Holy Ghost is so real. I thank You for Your comforting Spirit, God, that surrounds our lives. I thank You for Your warmth of heaven that I feel in my soul. But God, I believe Your Word tonight, and I believe Your promises. And they're yea and amen for Your people. Lord, I ask You tonight that You would touch this congregation, walk through these aisles, touch the hearts and lives of men and women. God, help us to live that our children might want to follow our lives and our grandchildren might want to follow our lives. Help us not to push away, dear God, the oracles of heaven. And help us to cleave to the foot of the cross of Calvary. No matter if our children, our loved ones, our neighbors, or who does not like it, help us, God, to smile in the midst of adversities and bring joy, dear God, to the cross of Calvary. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name through our Lord and Savior. Tonight, as they sing a verse of a song, we're going to open up these altars. If you're here tonight and you need God to touch your life, maybe you've been praying about some situations. Maybe there's an issue that you've been asking God to deal with. We're going to ask you to come tonight if you can and will. You can't make it to an altar, maybe at your seat. But let's pray tonight. Let's seek God. Let's ask God to help us. I don't know what all the needs are, but I know God does. I know He does.
Sometimes the battle gets hard, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on that rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and give up too, because I believe you're bound to lose. Oh, and I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. You may stand, you may fight, you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Remember, you can't cross. Cross the blood.